broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendrick.
It's a good thing. They're not doing it just to be in control. They're doing it.
McKinney is a very well-respected administrator.
We want to express our pleasure. That
like I said, I do the Botox myself. It's safe.
Burn in hell.
World famous Phil Hendrick show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. And a word to our online viewers, our Phil TV in HD is down right now. Apparently, internet connection has been lost between our main tri-casting computer and you guys. So as soon as we get that restored, you're going to have our Phil TV in HD, our online video cast, our nightly online video cast will be back up for you. But I wanted to let you know that. I know people have been tweeting about it, and we've been getting messaged about it. And so we'll be up as soon as we get our, you know, ducks in a row there with whoever it is, Time Warner, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's just we've actually had a little bit of a computer problem or internet problem here the last couple of nights. And I thought it was just me. I thought it was just the computers. Sometimes I take it personally. You know, they're doing that because of me. Anyway, our number is, it's a ridiculous thing to say. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Don't look at me like that, man.
What do you mean, personal?
I don't know, man. Sometimes I hit these computers, it's like, come on, come on, come on. You know, I want them to, like, webmail is always slow, slow, slow. I should have anticipated this because webmail, just to speak of the devil, webmail, trying to get to the to my email has been just a bitch the last 2 days. It's been slow as hell. Affiliate spotlight tonight, KMET in Riverside and WUTI in the great city of Utica, New York. In fact, that's a surprise. I did not know we were on in Utica, and I'm very happy to be on in Utica. I spent a summer in Utica, another radio station there back in the mid-1970s in upstate New York. Two great affiliates along the Phil Hendrick Show radio network, and we are online at philhendryshow.com with our archives, our daily podcast, our classic Phil podcasts, all of the archived video that we have, a five-day video archive. But tonight, our stream is down. We're working to get that back up as quickly as we can. And again, it is, it's nothing wrong with the website. It is a problem with our, internet connection, quite frankly. 877-876-PHIL. And, tonight we want to start off with a story that started, we had this last night. We're able to get Don Mixa on the line from University of Washington to talk about privacy and, a constitutional right to privacy. As well as, you know, these other issues. This has to do with Starbucks in Glendora, California. A Starbucks, of course, everybody goes to Starbucks. Well, police have arrested a man accused of secretly videotaping more than 40 women using the restroom at a Glendora Starbucks. 25-year-old William Zafra Velasco is an unemployed student and resident of San Dimas, California. He was arrested on May the 4th. He's accused of hiding a camera inside the women's restroom for 2 days at this Starbucks location there. In Glendora. The camera was disguised as a plastic coat hook and was affixed to a wall directly across from the toilet. A Starbucks employee discovered the device and he called the police. Shortly after authorities arrested Velasco, after security footage linked him to the device, police say that Velasco entered the woman's restroom every hour, removing the recording device, brought it back to his car, and downloaded the contents. Downloaded the contents onto the device in his laptop computer. He then returned to the restroom and reinstalled the recording device. Detectives confiscated his laptop, and they say they found disturbing video of at least 45 female victims using the restroom, many including children. At this time, it does not appear that any of the videos were uploaded to the internet or distributed. So far, police have identified 11 victims, but the department is requesting the public's help in identifying the other 34 victims. I don't know how they're going to do that. You know.
What?
Well, what are they going to do? They're going to, by the way, we'd like to identify the other victims. Here's the video of them going to the bathroom. I don't think they'll do that.
Well, they got to find out.
Well, let's get Don Mix up here. Don, how are you tonight?
Very good, Phil. Thank you.
What do you think the police mean by that?
I think they probably are going to release visual, that is, facial identification. I don't think you're going to see anything more specific than that in order that they can identify the victims, in order they can identify, so that they have a criminal case against this individual. individual, you find out who are the people who were victimized by this. And I would imagine he's going to be facing felony charges for sexual gratification, videotaping. These are laws that are in all 50 states now.
And they are? Specifically?
Specifically, right. Yep. Laws prohibiting the videotaping of individuals for sexual gratification. Certainly the unknowing videotaping of individuals. And I imagine and it is a felony.
This is the state of California, just about everywhere, huh?
California, I know in Florida, I know in Washington State, and many other states, it may be a different classification of felony in some states, but still a very, very serious problem.
What do you make of all of this, other than the fact that the guy is a new, you may say a high-tech peeping Tom, or an internet-age peeping Tom, or a, you know what I'm saying?
Multimedia peeping Tom, I don't mean to be light of it.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
The thing that immediately strikes me and that I am worried about is that you have a problem, and the problem is this. There is a great deal of very tough police work being done in order that we can protect our shopkeepers and our innkeepers, and a lot of very, very tough police work needs to be done in order to protect employers, and an individual like this sets back that effort many, many years. Obviously, the secret videotaping of people for sexual gratification is against the law. But I'm talking now, people are going to be saying that these cameras in these restrooms are obviously verboten, and they're going to want to have them in there no matter what the reason.
And what do you mean by setting back law enforcement?
Well, because you have cameras that can track whether women are shoplifting. You have cameras that can track female employees as to whether they are taking too much time during a coffee break. You have cameras that can track women in dressing rooms who are stealing very, very expensive clothing, very, very expensive jewelry. And of course, there has been this constitutional argument that there's an expectation of privacy. I don't think there's any expectation of privacy. When you're in a private store, yes, but you cannot expect privacy in a dressing room in a private store when they are afraid you may be stealing something. And so this man...
All right, if I get you right, you're saying that there are cameras, or will be, or should be, or could be cameras in bathrooms and dressing rooms to keep people from stealing?
That is correct.
And you mentioned one other thing about employers, women taking too much time.
Well, you have a... we have in this country, Phil, almost an epidemic that goes into the tens of thousands of man-hours that are lost every year by employers. And that is money to them, to by employees who are taking too much time and a coffee break. Going to the bathroom is the one place where particularly women are going to linger a long time. They're having a cigarette in there, or they're talking, or they're just fooling around, wasting time, and the employer's losing money. Now, how do you keep them from doing that? I mean, if an employee comes out of the women's room and says to you, well, I was being sick, I had a problem, et cetera, et cetera. You don't know. Or I was, some employees will claim that they are diabetic, they need to have their insulin shot. And then you find out when you look at the videotape that they were in there, combing their hair, or they were putting on lipstick, trying on lipstick. And so an employer, the only thing that protects him is these videotapes.
Well, I mean, if you've got a guy like that, you're telling me that there is a reasonable there's no reasonable expectation of privacy. Forget about this guy that's videotaping women for sexual gratification. There's no reasonable expectation of privacy in a bathroom for an employee or a customer because of these problems.
Unfortunately, that is correct.
Because of shoplifting, because of people taking too much time. And so let me ask you something then. I find this to be really an interesting conversation. If there's no reasonable expectation of privacy in a woman's bathroom, all right,
yeah,
in either in the capacity of an employee or a customer, then why would a woman even want to shop in any store anywhere or use the facilities?
Well, because, first of all, they don't have to. The answer to your question, Phil, is very obvious. They don't have to. They can go anywhere they want, but more and more stores are going to have these cameras, whether you can leave one store, go to another, they've still got the camera there that's going to be obviously turned on and observing. The camera will be recording the situation.
And you mentioned that this guy putting this camera in there and taping women and getting arrested for it, as well he should have been, he set back police efforts tens of dozens of years because now they won't want to put cameras into these bathrooms.
That is my fear, and I think it's the fear of law enforcement everywhere.
So I really have to ask you, Don. You know, you're traditionally you're a liberal, and traditionally you've stood up against police incursion or intrusion into people's lives, and now all of a sudden you are talking about wanting to have these cameras in these bathrooms and in these change rooms. Why is that?
Well, you know, I think if you think you're going to pin me into some admission that I'm a pervert, that's got nothing to do with it.
No, I'm not going to say that. But why are all of a sudden a liberal into the rights of police?
Because I think you've got a situation here, Phil, where you have women that are going into changing rooms and they are, stealing, and they are they're going into bathrooms and they're fooling around, and it's. I will tell you that I'm hopeful that these videos will be made public, and here's the reason why I'm hopeful they'll be made public, not for any perverse reasons, but for constitutional reasons, freedom of information reasons, and we don't know until we see these tapes what's going on in these bathrooms and these changing rooms.
And so you are taking the side of the police in this because eventually you feel that they'll have to release this under freedom of information, and you're going to get a good look at them.
Yeah, but I'm not. You can't say that. You can't attribute to me some perverse motive, okay?
Well, I don't want to do that, but I find that to be an interesting point of view for a guy that's been a traditional liberal. You think that cameras in changing rooms, cameras in bathrooms, are legitimate because of what they have, what they might uncover about people stealing or people wasting time?
I absolutely do. I absolutely do. I haven't. I look at it down the road. I look at it at the when those tapes get released, and I can get a, we can get a good look at, or I can get a good look at those tapes. But yes,
So until that time, women are going to have to expect that there's going to be people looking at them while they're changing, people looking at them while they're in the bathroom, and that's just the way it is.
I don't know. This guy who got arrested for the videotaping people, this guy here may have slowed that up.
All right, our number is 877-876-7445. Phil Hendry Show here with Don Mixa. Women and either in changing rooms or as employees, women may be subject to being videotaped because of the need to see whether or not they are stealing and to see whether or not they are wasting time on a coffee break, regardless of whether or not there's perverts that may want to be taping them. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. For all things news and talk radio, visit trncentral.com. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Don Mixa is with us from the University of Washington. Don, you know, I'm having a hard time here. We're talking about a camera that was discovered, a guy who was arrested for putting a camera in a Starbucks in Glendora, California. And I'm looking at this, story, and I'm having a very hard time figuring out how you make the connection between that and what the police are, or what you think store owners or what you think law enforcement would like to do in keeping people from shoplifting.
I think I already told you, Phil, that they want to put the cameras in. They want to put cameras into the changing rooms, into the bathrooms, because of the fact that we've got a lot of shoplifting and we've got a lot of people that are wasting time on the job. Okay? This guy, this pervert, who put the camera in the Starbucks, has retarded that effort. He has slowed that effort down. And now we're going to have a very difficult time convincing the legislators, convincing those who make the law that we need these cameras, because they're going to think it's all about someone getting their sexual kicks.
Now, you admitted just a moment ago that you, as a liberal, are in favor of this because it gives us more information about human behavior?
That is exactly right.
You said that under freedom of information, you could get a hold of these tapes?
That is exactly right. That is exactly right. Now, I know what you're thinking, and I think I probably know if you've got anybody listening to your show tonight, which I doubt, but I think your audience is probably...
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, usually by now you get phone calls on most shows, but are you getting any calls for me?
Well, you know something, Don? We'll get to that when we get to that, okay?
All right. Where was I?
You know, your comments about my show, notwithstanding, I'm talking to you about this particular story. Why do you care as a liberal about all of a sudden enforcing the law in change rooms and in bathrooms?
Because, Phil, the Freedom of Information Act will eventually free up this videotape so that I can look at it and other people will look at it and we can see what's going on with human behavior. And you know, me saying it that way makes me sound bad.
Yeah, it does. It makes it sound like you are a guy who's looking to get some free porn or something.
Yeah, I resent that. I really do.
All right, well, then tell me again, man, because I'm having a difficult time understanding why you, a liberal, and maybe that's not really what the story is about.
No, it isn't what the story is about. The story is about it. It's about employees who are wasting their employers' time, women, in these bathrooms. And women are the problem. More than anybody else, women are the problem. Because they're the ones that go into the bathroom and spend all this time. They're the ones that go into the change rooms and steal. And
men don't do this? You know that men are obviously shoplifters as well.
Men are shoplifters, but they don't have the opportunity to steal as much as women do in these changing rooms and in these other places. And certainly when it comes to coffee breaks, women are far worse at the offensive spending too much time hiding in a bathroom because, frankly, women's bathrooms are a lot more comfortable to be in. All of these things together, Phil, taken together, okay, make sense. Now, they obviously don't make any sense in connection with the Starbucks story, but that's neither here nor there. That guy is...
Well, they do, because this guy is a pervert. He put a camera in a place that he shouldn't, you know, he put this camera in so he could videotape women, and you're taking this as an opportunity to say, you know, too bad for law enforcement, because here's a guy that was taping women, so nobody's going to want to do this. And that may be true, but when you're on the other side of all of that, wanting to look at this tape with some phony baloney excuse about how you want to look, you know, at human behavior under freedom of information.
Why is it funny? Because I'm a liberal.
Because you're a liberal who ordinarily would not be standing up for the rights of police, or at least for police intelligence gathering. You'd be a guy who'd be into the civil liberties of private citizens. Now, all of a sudden, you want cops or whoever with cameras in change rooms and bathrooms. And that's what I'm saying. It doesn't add up.
Well, it adds up to me. And I understand you don't understand what I'm talking about, and probably your audience doesn't understand what I'm talking about, if you've got any audience. And
that's the second time you've made that crack.
Well, I'm just telling you, I can understand how people probably don't understand what it is I'm saying.
I don't understand what you're saying.
I don't even understand what I'm saying. But as soon as we get to the bottom of the hour, then...
That would be really great. That would be really great. But until that time, we have to press ahead and figure out how to make the connection between you and your need to have cameras looking at women changing. I understand that there's a shoplifting problem, and I understand that there's a problem with women taking too much time. There's a focus here on women. There's a focus here on you wanting those tapes, and there seems to be a little bit of a connection there between that and this pervert they busted in Glendora.
And now you're calling me a pervert, and that's the part that I really resent more than anything else in this world, more than anything else than I could possibly imagine, you calling me a pervert. And I got to tell you...
Well, when you tell me that you want to see these videotapes...
And I want to see the videotapes for the very reason that I gave you, that I want to review human behavior.
It sounds suspect to me, given your political past.
Well, I can tell you this much, Phil. I'm not going to change being a liberal Democrat just because it makes more sense to Phil Hendry that a liberal Democrat would not be endorsing a police move. Or would not be endorsing law enforcement. I'm not going to change. That's who I am, all right? And that's the way I'm always going to be. Now, has this bit been funny? No. Has it made... we'll try to do something with it. I don't know. Do you want to go the rest of the half hour? Do you want to kill this at 45? What do you want
to
do?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I have no idea. I'm flying by the seat of my pants. These are dark, dark days.
I understand that. Well, I'll do the very best that I can to help you, Phil.
Thank you. 877-876-7445 here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we talk with Don Mixa about the Starbucks in Glendora.
Phil Hendry. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Phil Hendry Show. All right, what we're going to have to do at this particular juncture, folks, is we have a major technical problem, and that is in our internet connection. Because I have no internet connection, and because I'm having right now a conversation with my engineers, we don't have any messaging to them, emailing news. We don't have any access to messaging news, and there's no copy that I would be able to avail myself of, only the stuff that I've received this afternoon. So knowing that, these guys need to, you know that I'm expecting internet service here. And I again apologize, ladies and gentlemen, for this week of 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And so I've got to get these individuals who I guess are new to my show and don't understand the connections that we've had and the protocols that we've had to try to get that fixed. It's the best way I know how to say it. 877-876-PHIL is the number here. We have Don Mixon on the line with us. At least the telephone works from Washington. Talking about hidden cameras in a woman's bathroom in Glendora, California, and why this basically means that law enforcement, because they arrested this guy, law enforcement has been dealt a serious blow because now they won't be able to have cameras in women's restrooms. And I don't know. You know, it's very strange, but it looks like I'm going to oppose you on this one, Don, because I think it's an invasion of people's rights.
And I disagree with you, and it looks like I'm the one that's, and I'm the liberal who's backing up law enforcement. Not that the police have asked for anything like this, but I think it's going to help immensely to be able to have cameras, yes, in women's restrooms and in women's changing rooms. And no, not because of some need. And I really resent that, the sexual kick that you were talking about, but because we have to take a look and see what's going on.
877-876-7445 here on the Phil Hendry Show. Here is Dave in Louisville, Kentucky. Dave, go ahead. Well, we don't have any telephone access. This is very interesting.
Yeah,
Dave, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Yes, sir.
Yeah. I think it's a travesty to have cameras in women's bathrooms. But they've got to have some form of privacy. And you never know what the person on the other end of that camera is doing with what he's seeing with those pictures and what he's going to do with them afterwards. You can't have that.
So in other words, you can't have security. You don't believe that?
No, you can have security. If you want security, you post somebody outside the door, an employee. You check merchandise on the way in.
What about what they're doing in there? What about you're going to be frisking people on the way in and way out?
No, you check their merchandise. If they've got it in underneath their clothing, they're
already. What about underneath their clothing? All right, so if it's underneath their clothing, how do you check for it?
If it's not in plain sight, it's already stolen.
All right, how do you check for it?
Well, you check for it the same way you check for everything else. You've got cameras.
All right, so you have to have a woman. You got to have a woman to check for it because you don't want cameras.
No.
So you're saying that the woman would have to frisk.
To what I'm saying.
That's right. No, you're not listening to what I'm saying. If they are hiding their clothing, that means you got to frisk them. And to frisk them, you need a female. Yes, you do. And to frisk them, you need a female.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely correct. But you have cameras.
And to frisk them, you need a female. No, you said that they, not in the bathroom.
You have them mounted throughout the store.
Are you saying that they, if it doesn't catch them in the mounted in the store, then what's the point of having a camera in the bathroom?
Exactly. And if the only other way they're going to
exactly.
do it, they don't catch it.
What do you mean exactly?
If you have a person sitting there before they walk in the door, they count the items that they have. When they walk out, they count the items they have. And if you've got to be...
So this guy, I just want you to be clear, Phil. This guy wants us to hire about 10 different people to do a job that a camera in a bathroom can do. Have a guy at the store counting the items. Have somebody standing at the bathroom doors. They're coming in and going out. And you want to do all of that. Why?
So that there isn't a camera staring at a woman while she's taking her clothes off.
Exactly.
And I see. So you think law enforcement personnel are perverts.
I think and they're going to be looking at the...
Well, here... You're a guy, Don, that you're saying you want these tapes released as under freedom of information.
That is correct. That doesn't mean I want to be getting my jollies looking at them.
Okay, I'm going to take your word for that?
See, this guy thinks it's funny because why? Because you would?
I think that you've got an issue with wanting to watch people in the bathroom. Yes,
no, I don't have any issue. I don't have washing people in a bathroom. I'm talking about the thousands and millions of dollars every year that is shoplifted, the thousands of man hours that are lost every year by employees that are taking these cigarette breaks that are too long, especially women.
I mean, we get back to this issue of women and cameras in women's bathrooms, cameras in women's dressing rooms. This is highly sensitive given the fact that this guy was arrested.
I understand that, and it's unfortunate. But women are the ones who are taking all this time. And so they've almost invited the camera in there. That's the point I'm trying to make.
You really believe what you're saying?
Sir, I happen to be involved in the actual issue. Are you? Or are you just some guy thinks the whole thing's funny?
I think it's
I do believe what I'm saying.
I think it's incredibly
stealing?
Petty.
You think stealing is petty?
Stealing is not.
No, not stealing.
There's ways around catching thieves other than invading other people's privacy.
How do you do it? Tell me how you do it.
You take it.
Yeah, hire five guys. Hire five guys. One guy at the door, one guy at the thing. If I turn the world over to you, we'd lose millions of dollars a day with all these clowns trying to do the job that one camera could do, one well-placed camera.
Where would you put the camera?
It's got to be on the floor. You know something? Both of you guys are... Listen to him laughing, though. That's the thing that makes him not have credibility. He thinks the idea
that's
ludicrous. Why is it ludicrous?
But why does the camera got to be on the floor?
Where do you think people hide things? They hide things under the dress. So you need the camera looking up the dress. Does that mean that it's an upskirt shot? No, it does not.
Well, yes, it does. Yes, it does. And again... I think that you're going to have some serious constitutional issues. That's all there is to it. David, thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Lori. Lori, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Don Mixa.
Yeah, I'm totally offended by the fact that you think that women are the only ones that are the shoplifters or these people that are abusing break time.
And it's unfortunate.
That that's going to be resolved by putting cameras in the bathroom, that's nothing but for perverts.
No, ma'am. What we're trying to do is look and see what women are doing in there. If there's a behavioral problem that we can isolate.
Women's dresses in the bathroom. That's all you're going to do. You know, do you think how many women actually wear dresses, go in, and they're going to stick it up their dress?
No, ma'am. Well, you've got two separate issues, ma'am. You have the bathroom issue. You have the changing room issue. There are two separate issues. One is the wasting of time, if you will, by employees. The other is theft. The theft, the camera should be floor mounted. If women are not wearing skirts into the dressing room, if they're wearing pants, then that's going to be a problem. We're going to have to. I don't know how you get them to wear skirts.
It's going to be the same problem that a man can take into the bathroom or into a dressing room and shove it down his pants or inside of his shirt. You have a serious issue with picking on women, that women are the offenders of everything.
No, ma'am.
You want to do is you want to target a woman's bathroom so you can have your fun. This has nothing to do
with
time wasting.
Can I ask you a question? How is it that I'm having fun? Look, How am I having fun looking at someone going to the toilet? That, to me, is about as vile a thing as there is.
Let's for a minute say it's vile and you're not doing it for these perverse reasons.
Well, thank you, Phil, but I, you know, you're offending me.
All right, I don't mean to offend you, but I don't think Lori is just hearing you and she's coming to her conclusions. But let's just say that you don't have those perverse intentions. Let's just talk about it from the standpoint of effectiveness and legality and constitutionality. How effective are you going to be putting a camera at floor level in a bathroom, keeping women from wasting too much time?
Well, the first place people look for cameras is above them. So you're going to have a lot of women going into bathrooms and looking to see where the camera is. Okay, no camera, great. Now let's blow some time on the boss's dime. They don't know that there's a camera floor level, and you're going to say to me, you know, it's obscured. No, it isn't. It's just floor level.
And where is it?
Well, it has to be in the toilet stall. And the reason for that is that's where most of the time is wasted.
In the toilet stall, floor level.
Really?
Yes.
You think that we all go in the bathroom, sit down, and eat crackers? For crying
smoking
out loud.
Cigarettes, smoking cigarettes, talking,
well,
using
you know
the turf. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The United
yes,
States,
ma'am?
Basically, almost in every state, you can't smoke indoors anywhere. Nobody's
well,
going to go into the bathroom and smoke a cigarette. They're going to go
well,
outside.
See, but that's where people
area.
Go to sneak a. A lot of women go into the bathroom to sneak a cigarette, and it'll be in the toilet stall. And
you know
you're
what?
Going
I don't
to a.
Know. What, I don't know what woman's bathroom you've been in, but there is.
Have you
no
ever been a smoker,
smoking.
Don?
Have I what?
Have you ever been a smoker?
No, I haven't.
Well, as a former smoker, I can tell you that smokers are well aware of where the smoke alarms are. We're well aware of where, or I was, of where the no smoking was. And the best thing to do for smokers is to go outside. Nobody sneaks a cigarette in a bathroom anymore.
Well, I don't think you know what you're talking about. You say you're a former smoker.
Well, nothing's
so
changed. Things have gotten.
Because I am a smoker. And you don't want to go in the bathroom and smoke when you're not supposed to smoke there because
or you will
can smell it.
All right, but you'll go in there, you'll hide from the boss, you'll eat your sandwich, you'll be talking to your girlfriends. Generally, you sit on the toilet while you're doing that.
You're kidding me. You think it's just like a great big old henpecking session in there? Everybody's
no, ma'am.
And we're going to have tea?
No,
give
ma'am.
Give me a
I'm
break.
That if
you ever take
you
into
want
consideration? No, listen. Do you ever take into consideration that a woman may spend a little bit more time in the bathroom because we have a little bit other personal issues that we have to take care of in there?
It could be, and that's what we're trying to determine. But the only way you can determine it is with a camera.
You want to take a clear view of what we have to put up with so we can bear your children?
So you are going to put a camera on a floor to figure out what? Whether
to figure out, Phil, whether these women are wasting time, valuable, precious time, talking and jaw-jacking and yeah-da-da-da, or do they actually have some if they're having a period. You get a, and I'll tell you what, a floor-level camera is going to give you a lot of information.
Yeah, I'll bet it does give you a lot of information.
I don't
sure
mean actually.
Well, what do you mean then?
Well, if she's having to change her, you know what?
You're going to get a real good shot of that with a floor-level camera.
Boy, you people are sick. You really are.
You
really
are definitely
sick.
A sick-twisted
no,
individual.
You're, no, ma'am. I have come on with the purest of intentions, and now you've got me taking upskirt shots of dirty tampons? Is that what I...
This
boy.
Has nothing to do
wow.
with law enforcement.
Wow.
This has nothing to do with employers and time and monitoring. The only type
wow.
of monitoring it is for someone to have fun and get their jolly. And
I don't know how
ridiculous.
You get your jollies. I don't know how anyone would get their jollies in the manner that Mr. Henry just described.
I don't know,
maybe not jollies, but I will tell you this. It's a violation of privacy, the likes of which I could not possibly imagine going further than. Whether or not you get your jollies, if it was my wife or my daughter or anybody in there and you weren't getting your jollies, but you still had a videotape of them taking care of their monthly problem in a, it's a messy and painful and, unhygienic thing that they have to go through, I'd be really pissed off. And yeah, it's a violation of privacy and everything else. And you say you're gonna look at this tape and see if you can, figure out, human behavior as to what we can do?
Yes, if they're spending too much time in there. Now, if it's somebody in there, and they're pulling a, you know what I'm saying, and it looks like ketchup. And
oh, God! All right, anyway.
But what happens in the men's bathroom? Why not
thank
put
you.
Them in there, too?
Right. Thank you so much for your call. We have to take a break. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445.
Was she talking about men have tampons? Wow, you're telling me I'm crazy.
And if, she was talking about why not have them in men's bathrooms.
So to see what we do during our time of the month?
Woo!
To me, that right there, that's the dumbest call.
All right, hold on for a minute. 877-876-7445. We'll be back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show with Don Mixa on cameras in dressing rooms and women's bathrooms. Why? Because you guys, you women, you're the ones that take all that time on a coffee break, and you steal more than men.
We Phil can't Henry fight Show. This fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. For more information on this and other great talk programs, go to talkradionetwork.com. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Phil Henry Show, again, I want to apologize to you guys that were expecting a video cast tonight. We wanted to give it to you. The internet has gone out at our studio, and there's right now we are scrambling to get that up and going. But the internet is out at our studio, and I apologize. You don't know how sorry I am. You have no idea. 877-876-PHIL. We're going to get it up and running for you guys as quickly as we possibly can. It's Time Warner, and, you know, I just would say to you guys at Time Warner, you know, there are people that have a commercial use as well as residential use for your service. You may think it's funny, or maybe you don't have enough time, or maybe you guys just think you're so fantastic that a couple of outages here and there don't mean much. But I'll tell you, your service has been inconsistent. It's been erratic. And it costs me, a business owner, money every time you clowns can't do your job. Think about it that way. 877-876-7445. Don Mixa with us as we talk about the Starbucks in Glendora, California, where a man was arrested putting a camera in a woman's bathroom.
Phil, I want to even make a point. I think a lot of people are confusing me with this guy. I didn't put a camera in a bathroom to get my jollies.
And no, I understand that. I know you didn't.
All right, but it's what you're saying, and you, what your callers are saying is that they, somehow me wanting to have cameras in women's dressing rooms and bathrooms is tantamount to this pervert getting his cookies, watching dirty, you know, watching some dirt. It's not even pornography. It's more along the lines of a guy that just likes to watch dirty things. If you know what I mean. You know what I'm talking about, Phil? I don't know if you're a collector of those kinds of movies, but I...
Of course I'm not.
Well, I'm not either, but I have known people who have them, and I've seen them, and it's dirty. And I'm not into dirty. I'm into law enforcement and not people not stealing.
That's fine, and I don't think that was anything you need to explain.
I think I do need to explain, because I think there's a perception out there.
All right, 877-876-7445. The Phil Henry Show. Let's go over to Joanne in Illinois this evening. Joanne, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Joanne?
Now, if somebody is smoking a cigarette, you know for yourself
yes.
You're seeing more than a cigarette because your cigarette is in your mouth. You sound like a pervert. You really do.
I don't understand how you are geared up. What I'm trying to say is this, ma'am. Are women taking too much time on their coffee break or cigarette break or bathroom break? It's costing employers money, and we have to know what's going on in those bathrooms. What are they doing? That is costing employers.
It's private. That is a private thing for us, okay?
Well,
now, I don't know if they've taken too much time for you or whatever. Fact remains, putting that camera in there, it's making you look bad. It's not making the women look bad at all. It's making you look bad. Now, you think you're not a pervert. Then you wouldn't have never done
it. No. I didn't do it. See, I know it. She's confusing me with...
Well, ma'am, we're not talking about And I apologize that if we weren't clear, there was a story about a man who put a camera in a bathroom. This is not Don. He's talking about a law.
I'm sorry.
No, a law enforcement approach. However, Don.
Well, no, she doesn't think I'm a pervert now. What do you want to make her think I am?
Well, you're the one who is saying we need to have cameras floor level in the bathrooms.
Yes, we need to have cameras floor level in the bathroom.
But people pull their underwears down. Sometimes they pull them down to their ankle. That's floor level.
I'm not going
to
be looking at that. I don't want to look at that. I'm not looking at that.
But it's
I don't want to see that.
Filmed on there. It's going to be on there. You can't help but see it.
No, I'm going to. No. Understand that as a professional, I'm not going to, oh, here comes her pants. I won't look at that part. I'm going to be looking above the waist, what she's doing with her hands. Is she
there
on the phone?
There's no excuse that you can come up with that I will accept or even believe that you're not going to see somebody's underwears and not look at it. We're human beings.
Because
we're
I'm a professional. I'll tell you how you do it, and it sounds silly, but you just put your thumb over the screen, and then you don't see anything.
Wow.
Oh, come on, man. I mean, you know, then there's no need to put it on the floor.
Well, no, there may be times when you do have to look.
If you got to put a camera in the bathroom, it should be at the front door.
Phil Hendry.
That's no fun.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
No, it's kind of a dog-eat-dog world out there.
Sometimes you get nervous if they get
I'm gay myself, and I grew up in Pleasant Plains. And I know what it's like to
for you, lots of money.
Say, baby, put down that pipe and get my pipe up.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about every night till... Well, till the sun goes down. Well, actually, well past the sun going down. In fact, the sun's down when we come on the air here. Our website is philhendryshow.com. I don't know what I was saying there. Well, anyway, our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. So visit us. Watch our live streaming video. Look at the drama behind the scenes as well as the drama on the scene. And if you're lucky, you'll catch one of those nights where I'm going ballistic. And if you're lucky... Anyway, 877-876-PHIL. The creator of Mike and Molly calls the Marie Claire blogger hateful. We'll have Father James McCorders on the line with us here from Belmar Academy in just a moment to discuss the Mike and Molly situation. The whole controversy about if there is a controversy. I never know whether these things are so manufactured. Do we really care if someone is overweight and they happen to be kissing another overweight person? Is this an issue, or did somebody from this magazine turn it into a phony baloney? Anyway, that'll be Father James McCorders on to talk about that with us. Our affiliate spotlight tonight, Dallas-Fort Worth, KFXR 1190 AM, and in Redding, California, KCNR 1460 AM, two great stations on the Phil Hendry Show Network. So, what have we got here? Mike and Molly... they're going to do an episode, as a matter of fact, folks, that has just been announced based upon this Marie Claire issue, and it will be revolving around, I guess, one of them canceling a subscription. After a controversial Marie Claire column written about Mike and Molly, its creator vowed to incorporate the experience into a storyline on the CBS show. So Mark Roberts, who himself battled weight issues, told Fancast.com that Marie Claire blogger Maura Kelly's post seemed like something someone would say when they're really drunk at a party with their other hateful friends. Father James McCorders is with us. And Father McCorders, I know you've worked with overweight teens as well as being a member of the San Gabriel Valley Diversity Council. And weight issues are part of that, right?
Well, they are part of it, too. Especially when you're talking about young people who have so many other issues, you know, that they have to deal with. And for a young person to not only be struggling with these issues of adolescence, whatever they may be, to also be struggling with their own physical analysis and weakness, whether it's a weight issue or other issues, it's terribly troubling. It's terribly debilitating, and we talk with them and try to find ways for them to cope with this and as well as to interact with the rest of society in a positive way.
Now, let me play for you just, this is just a TV clip from the Mike and Molly show to give our listeners and myself and yourself, Father, an idea what the show's like.
And for you, lads, man, one plain wiener, no bun, no sauerkraut, no chili, no mustard, no pickle, no cheese, no relish.
No tip, give it to me.
Excuse me to inquire, but this meager meal seems insufficient for a man of your tremendous girth.
Just trying to drop a couple of pounds.
May I suggest you move to my country where everyone is fashionably thin due to lack of food?
Well, there you go. That is from the Mike and Molly show. We have with us Father James McWhorter. So the show's about a couple of overweight people who are in love. They show physical attraction to each other and physical affection. And it was the Maura Kelly column which said that we don't want to look at fat people. That sparked this outrage and this backlash, and now I think that this writer has been forced to apologize, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, it's not my place, I don't think, to comment on whatever the policy was for her magazine. I'm not familiar with it. I will say that I heard her criticism. And I've also heard the criticism of others, as you have. But I think there are places and there are times for these criticisms. And this woman writing what she wrote, which was, I take it, a criticism of how disgusting, I guess, was the word she used. It is to see fat people kissing, if I'm not mistaken.
That's essentially it, Father, yeah.
This is, it's not the time or the place to say this. I think it is probably a truism to say that there are very few of us that would disagree with that. I think it's a truism to say that there are very few of us that want to sit in a restaurant and look at two of these people that are of this physical size, of the physical shape that these people are in. No one really wants to look at two of those people kissing or doing the things that they do, but you can't say these things in public the way this woman did and hope for any sympathy at all.
Well, you work with overweight kids. Are you saying that it's disgusting to see overweight kids hugging each other? Or
I'm saying that it, in the public arena, this writer is saying we don't want to see fat people hugging and kissing. Well, ladies, I don't think there's any doubt that she's right, but I don't think you say that in the way that she said it. Now, in working with overweight teens, and we have our dances, we have a dance for the teen, some of these children who are not physically attractive, we have a dance for them. And we have areas of the dance floor at the regular dances, the regular teen dances we have for high school, that we hang some kind of a sheet or some kind of a barrier separation where these children can go and they can dance. Because we recognize that while these children are overweight and deserve to have a good life, no one wants to look at it and no one wants to see it. So that's what we do to try to make their lives better. But you don't come out in the open as this Kelly. And I believe it's
her name's Maura Kelly.
This Maura Kelly woman did. And say, I'm disgusted by looking at fats, kissing and hugging and so forth. I don't think there's any doubt that you're going to find people disagreeing with that. But you don't ever make the issue in public where you denigrate people in public like that. And you segregate, for instance.
You are segregating the fat kids from the skinny kids at the dance? You think that's going to help them deal with their weight issues?
Well, I don't know. But you do have to create a comfortable atmosphere for both, the skinny ones and the fat ones. I don't know. What helps them with their weight issues is to recognize one-on-one. And when we sit down with the kids, we say to them, well, now, you know, the first thing I want to say to you is, if you're hugging and kissing in public and you're dancing, you know it's going to disturb a great many people.
And so we want you to be mindful of that. And then we can get to your weight issue. But before we get to your weight issue, we've got to draw some ground rules here, and we've got to make you aware of something. If you're out in the public and you're kissing and hugging and rubbing, you're going to make people sick. And you have to understand, no way, you can't do it. You know, you don't want these fat kids running the events for the skinny and the bit. And we have to totally be honest with these big ones about the other people and their feelings around them. And I think you mentioned something like that once, Phil.
I did. Let me give our number. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. What did I say?
You told me that you had been on a Disney cruise with your wife and your children, and you saw two very big women dancing with a little skinny man.
I said I saw...
They were fat women, weren't they?
Well, they weren't obese.
No, but they were fat women. They were big women, weren't they?
They were big women, yeah.
And they had taken this small man, a skinny man, I think you said.
Well, he wasn't skinny. I mean, he was probably a fit guy. He was a little guy. I think he might have been the husband.
And did you see how you almost said wife? You see how it's an emasculating...
No. I meant to say husband. He might have been...
But it's an emasculating thing to be a small, thin man and to be told to go out onto a dance floor. And I'll see you out there. And you know what's going to greet you when you get out there. And that's the big wife. And when you said that to me that night, Phil, my heart sunk for that man. And yet I knew that there was no way you could talk about it on the radio. Tonight, I think we had to come clean with it.
Well, I don't know that there's anything to come clean with. I said to you at that time when I was talking to you, I saw these two large women dancing. You know, it's a funny thing about the Disney crew. We took the kids on this cruise, and...
Well, I don't... If you could get to the essential, because... I don't want people to lose interest if you're going to tell us your life story. If you can...
I'm not giving them my life story. I'm just saying when you go on something like a Disney cruise, and they have stuff for kids, and they have stuff for adults, and they have nightclubs on this ship for adults. So the reason why I'm saying all of this is I think that some people just loosen up a little bit, and these were two big, you know, women.
But they were fat women. You see how your instinct is healthy. Your instinct is to not say anything about it. Your instinct is to keep your mouth shut and to not say, these two fat women made me sick to look at. And
well, they did not make me sick to look at.
No, you are not going to say that. But for the fact that you said you saw them dancing with a little skinny man, a little tiny man, and a man perhaps with no future, perhaps no past. He might have been married to one of the women. He might have not have been married. I don't know. A little tiny man. A little man who might have made a big life for himself. And now the man has been taken out of the dance floor by a big woman. What future does a little man have?
All I'm saying is I think that he probably was the husband of one of these ladies, and it was amusing to me. It wasn't sickening. It wasn't any of those things. It was amusing to me, Father, to see this little guy dancing with these two big women. It made me laugh, but I was not sickened by that, okay?
Well, I'll tell you, Phil, the obese children that we work with, I counsel them, and I think they appreciate my honesty with them when we're in private. I tell them they're fat, that they make people physically ill when they show any sort of affection in public. These fat kids say, thank you for the honesty, Father. And I think it gives them the motivation. But you don't come out in public and say, I went on a Disney cruise, I saw a little tiny man. He went out onto the dance floor with two big women. And the next thing I saw was the little man, he was squished between the two fat, you know. You didn't. I know you didn't.
I wouldn't say that because that didn't happen.
But that's the instinct.
No, I don't think so. Well, let me tell you, our 877-876-PHIL, Father James McQuarters has joined us. The instinct to say that looking at fat people having affection for each other does make us ill. Most of us don't say it in public. What Maura Kelly said in her blog, according to Father McQuarters, is pretty much how people feel. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. So does watching large people have affection for each other make you sick? Is Father McWhorter's reflecting a view that's held by a lot of people, or is he a little bit off base on this thing? We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show as we talk about Mike and Molly and Maura Kelly.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back, 877-876-PHIL, here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Father James McWhorter's from Belmar Academy joining us. The Mike and Molly episode, well, not the Mike and Molly episode, the Mike and Molly show, was the subject of a column by Maura Kelly in this Marie Claire website magazine. In it, she said that she'd received a lot of complaints and that CBS had received a lot of complaints about looking at fat people on TV, kissing, hugging, having physical affection, and that she herself found it gross. Joining me is Father James McWhorter's. You don't necessarily disagree yourself. You're saying that it was going public with it.
Well, you know, you don't go public with something like that. The essential point that must be made is that I don't think Maura Kelly needs to remind anyone. She certainly doesn't need to remind the people at CBS, and she doesn't need to remind myself. She doesn't need to remind you. Maura Kelly doesn't need to remind the people that read her column. That when we see someone that's overweight, or we see people, these unfortunate people that are battling this weight problem, or like the ladies that you saw on the ship that night, those women were dancing with a little skinny man, a little man, and you can well imagine the debilitation, psychological debilitation, of being a little skinny man with a wife that's a big, fat... I don't know what else to say. What does that do to a man? But you don't go public with it. You don't say it. You don't, as they say now, what's the word they use? The kids say, you don't put it on blast.
You don't put it on blast.
Right, you don't put it on blast. And that's exactly what this Maura Kelly did. And when she did that, she rolled back decades of progress we've made in trying to get these overweight people to understand that while we recognize they've got a right to eat, if they want to eat, they can eat themselves to death if they want to, watch them eat, and then put down a piece of food, put down a greasy turkey leg, and then immediately with the same lips, glistening with grease, planting them on the lips of a loved one. Oh, my God! Oh, my God!
Are you being overly dramatic?
No, you can ask your audience. I get the mail, too.
But are you being overly dramatic? And isn't it insulting? I mean, we're, you know...
I don't want to talk about this, Phil. That's Maura Kelly woman forced us to talk about it. That's the problem. I didn't want to talk about this any more than you did. But this woman put it public... And now we have to discuss it public.
877-876-PHIL. Let me go over to our phone calls here tonight. We have Leanne on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Leanne. You're on with Father James McWhorter's.
Father James McWhorter's. My name is Leanne Mills, and I am a Catholic girl. How dare you ever say that children should be segregated from one another because they are overweight?
You
need to go back to your Bible.
Dancing together.
You need to read your tenement again. You are in no position to judge anyone.
You're overweight, aren't you?
Children.
Yes, she is.
They deserve to be loved.
I agree with you. But why would you hide behind the child when the weight issue is your own?
I'm sorry, say it again.
I said, why would you hide behind the child when the weight issue is your own?
Are you telling me, I have a 14-year-old son. My son stands 6 feet, 2.5 inches tall. He weighs 256 pounds and wears a size 14.
Oh, God have mercy.
Excuse me?
I said, God have mercy on that child at 6'2", 280 pounds, and he's 10. How old did you say it was, 10 or 11?
My son is 14 years old.
And he's 6'2", 280. I don't know how you're doing the boy a favor. I don't know how you're doing the boy a favor by saying to him, you go right ahead and eat something that's greasy or what have you.
My son is 6'2", and he weighs 256.
Is he eating grease?
Did I give him grease? No, I breastfed, Father.
What's that?
I breastfed my son. He's healthy. Check your age bracket and check your documentation.
What's that got to do with... What has that got to do
with... My son does not eat grease. My son plays
football. At the age of 14, you're breastfeeding him?
No, my son plays football.
Exactly. At the age of 14, you said you breastfed him?
She said she breastfed him as an infant.
All right.
I didn't breastfeed him now. That would be disgusting.
Absolutely. There's no question about it. Well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to be honest with me.
Sure.
How big are you? Let's talk. Let's talk turkey.
Okay.
How big are you?
I'm sorry. I'm driving, so you're going
to... How big are you? How tall are you, and how heavy are you?
Okay, I'm 5'7", and what I weigh is none of your business.
Okay,
I'm married.
So that means you're pushing 300.
No, I'm
and
not pushing
this
300,
is why...
and how dare you make those kind of assumptions? And
why couldn't I? Your son is 6'2", 300, or whatever you said. Why wouldn't I assume that you're hefty as well? And what I'm trying to say, I never told Maura Kelly to write that column. I did not want her to write that column. She wrote the column. Now I have to talk to people, and I have to say to the young ones.
How tall are you?
How tall am I?
How tall are you?
5'5".
You're 5'5" tall. So my son, at 6'2" tall, at age 14.
Right. It's a freak.
Phil Hendry.
Boy.
Phil Hendry. Radio. Four Patriots, five Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacific.
Famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And again, my apologies as to some internet problems we've had tonight, guys. And the internet is a vital link on this radio show. We do our radio show from a studio here at the El Pacifico, just north of the city of Los Angeles. We communicate to our master control, which is in another western city, my producer, who is also in another western city, further to the northwest, and we have a modern radio show. But one of the things about the modern age of radio, the modern age of multimedia, is that we have long lines of communication. And if you're a student of the great battles, warfare, and the great battles of history, as I am, I'm not a combat veteran, I'm not a soldier, but I'm a student of history, and I've studied these great battles, and you often hear them say, our supply line was too long. The reason why the Germans were beaten by the Russians in World War II, among many reasons, but one of the reasons was their supply line. They outran their supply line. One of the things we were worried about in the Iraq War was that we were heading into Baghdad with this long supply line, and we were worried that supply line was vulnerable because, as you can well imagine, a supply line is almost like just one long strand, a long column of trucks and men, and either side is rather vulnerable. And we worried at the end of the Second World War as we advanced toward Germany that our supply line, again, was going to be stretched out too much, although we made damn sure at that particular point that we had plenty of men, plenty of supplies, plenty of equipment. And by that point in the war, the Germans were no longer able to harass our supply lines. Now, let's bring it to the modern age of radio. It's got nothing to do with war, although we are in our own way every day fighting a battle here. And in this context, our supply line would be our connection to the ultimate resource we use to push our radio show out to all of you. And our connection to our producing support. All of those connections, those two connections, are by way of the internet and by way of telephone line. So, again, you have this supply line, and if there is something vulnerable about it, if it is stretched beyond its ability to service you, and I'm not saying that that's the case, but there obviously are going to be nights or days or weeks, perhaps, when things are a little bit more vulnerable. And you guys know, you've got cable service, you have internet service, and you how many times have you cursed your computer when your cable provider, blah, 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 or your ISP, blah, 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 and the next thing you know, Jesus, I can't get on, I can't get my email, something's wrong. Well, imagine that in the context of doing a radio show. And that's exactly what has happened here tonight. I've had no communication with, very little in the way of proper communication with my producer. I have also lost connection to our primary way of getting to you, our videocast, our webcast, our Phil TV HD webcast that we've do every single night. Because we have lost that connection, that internet connection, we have been unable to deliver to you this evening our webcast. And for that, I apologize, because we have subscribers to our site. And we've got a lot of subscribers to our site. And a lot of people that enjoy watching that. They enjoy watching me lose my mind every night. They enjoy watching me go in and out of character every night. They enjoy watching us do the show. Only tonight they can't watch us do the show, because the connection between me and them is now no more. Not no more, but it doesn't work. So, Fred Scotty, who's a fantastic engineer, our technical guy at our main studio, is working with the internet service provider. We have determined that we do have a problem, not within our studio or within our computers, but within the line itself. And we're going to work on that. Now, that's as much background as I can give you.
That's pretty good.
Does you understand it, bud?
Yeah.
Robert?
Well, I don't know. I mean, all I know is I had a lot of people early in the show that said they can't get the video cast, you know.
Well, that's when we knew we had a problem. That's when we knew we had a problem. A lot of people saying, wait a second, because in addition to our radio broadcast and the many great affiliates we have a lot of people who are watching and listening online. And those are the people that suddenly said, wait a minute. And as I said, they are people who pay money to not only listen, but more to the point, they pay money to watch, they pay money for the podcast. It's a paying business, you hear what I'm saying? You know, it's...
paying business, radio station paying too.
No, I know that. See, one of the things we got to do around here, like I've been telling you guys, man, we got to get organized, baby. We got to get organized. You know, I forget, what was that Laurel and Hardy movie we were watching?
Yeah, the guy said, I got to get organized.
One of those two fat, either the fat guy or the little, I forget which one, said, we got to get organized, man. So that's what we're going to do around here, is get organized. And I say this with the greatest of kindness. We just, it's just been a tough period. But we'll fight our way through it. Thank you very much for staying with us. What can I tell you, man? You know, this is a time in the history of man on this planet. It's very revolutionary. There's all kinds of different ways to communicate. There's all kinds of different ways to deliver things to you. It's no longer, folks, about radio or TV. It's about delivery device. Have you heard anybody say that? Now, you guys are involved in very vital jobs. You are construction people. You're construction workers. You may be engineers, contractors. You may be doctors, lawyers. You're mothers. You're teachers. You're police officers. You're doing the real work. See, we're here as entertainers and communicators. We are way, way out, man. We're like the 9th, 10th, 15th ring of civilization. You start out with the food growers, and then you get a little bit further out to the soldiers and the police and then the mothers and the this and the that and the doctors. And, blah, 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 blah. And finally, when everything else is done, then we can start having things like poets and singers and dancers and guys that talk on the radio for a living like me. I'm way out there in terms of necessity. So the last thing that I want to do is waste your time, and I sure as hell don't want to come on here every night and say, let's go to the video cast, and suddenly we ain't got one. So to that end, we have to work with our people who are the technical people, and we will do that. But I am very aware of the fact that it is a new age. This is probably one of the more profound periods in human history, not unlike the Industrial Revolution, when the Industrial Revolution urbanized our population, heavy machinery became the norm as opposed to something that was unusual, and, you know, we were more of an agrarian farming society, and, oh, look at that, it's a steam engine. Well, shut my mouth. Well, next thing you knew, everywhere you looked, steam and coal and machines, and we were transformed not just as a country but as a world. And being a farmer, pulling a plow, milking a cow, taking the a box of apples down to the market, that became something that was secondary in this country, not any less vital, but secondary. Now, we have entered into a new, if you will, industrial revolution. Only it's not an industrial revolution. It's a it's a revolution of communication. It's a revolution of communication and information delivery. Where once upon a time, it was important for us to churn out railroad cars, automobiles, horse and buggies. It was important for us to churn out pieces of machinery that might be attached to bridge building, pieces of machinery that might be attached to a steam shovel or steam shovels themselves. Now we have developed systems by way of this new technology to deliver information, because now we find that information, more than anything else in this world, is gold. Absolute gold. How do we know? Take a look at Wall Street. Take a look at Wall Street. Take a look at an individual who's able to read the news properly. That man is going to make a lot of money. A guy that can read the news and read the events of the world is going to make a lot of money in the next 24, 48 hours. More money than the guy that can't. That's the world we live in. And, of course, we live in a world where news is now a product, as the man said. I can't control that, but I am a part of it. And everything we do here on our radio show has in mind the multimedia platforms that we operate from: internet, radio show, video, social media. We do it all here on the Phil Hendry Show. And there are nights when everything just breaks down. One of the reasons for that is that the radio industry itself, and I've said this what's the matter with you?
You're going to be talking about this all night.
No, I ain't going to talk about it all night.
Yeah, because,
What?
Well, aren't you going to read the news and...
I'll do what I want. Get out of here. I'll do what I want to do. Tell me, am I going to talk about it all night?
Well, you know.
I like it. You guys, you see, it's over your head. See, that's the problem with you guys. You don't get it. I do.
Well, I don't know what you mean by multimedia, all that.
Multimedia. Many different forms of communicating. The point that I'm making is this. On this show, on our radio show, and on any other radio show that knows what it's doing, you know, we're attempting to communicate on these different platforms. Now, the business I'm in, the industry of radio itself, and I've said this at these different panels that I've been on, the industry itself is slow to, has been very, very slow to react. It's been very slow to pick up on these new forms of communication. And as a result, radio, the industry, is not ready to support what it is the talent, want to do. I was at a panel in Los Angeles here 3 weeks ago. We were talking about multimedia. I was on the panel with a bunch of young guys, young broadcasters, and other guys. Big Boy, who's on a hip-hop station. Rick Dees, who's the top, you know, he's a CHR disc jockey. Me, I do a talk show. Dr. Drew, he's a medical guy. But all of us were talking the same thing. We were talking about internet, as well as internet radio, as well as satellite, as well as regular broadcasting. I mean, we were there talking about this stuff, making it happen. The industry itself, though, the CEOs, the people who run our business, they are lost. They're lost. They're trying to come up with a corporate paradigm for this. We're doing it every day here on an individual level with you, the listener, every single day. The only problem I've got is Time Warner.
We all got to get that thing fixed.
That's right. It's the only problem I got is keeping the internet connected. If I had a big company, you know, they could start their own internet company, I guess, their own ISP. But I don't want to do that. So You know, and here's another thing. This is I think this is very interesting. I don't know about you. If I was an ISP, if I was a company that provided internet service, and I saw all these entrepreneurs that have suddenly popped up everywhere, I would have commercial accounts. I would have special ways that they could utilize, as opposed to just the home user. I would really diversify. But they don't do that. They don't do that. Why? It's not cost effective. I think it's very cost effective. I think they'd make a lot of money. Here's the reason why they don't do it. I don't think they've got the people there with the brains to figure out how to make it work. I'm serious when I say that. I don't think Time Warner or some of these other companies have got enough people who can conceptualize that and figure out how to do it. Otherwise, they'd do it. I'd pay more. I would pay more if there were other people like me, individual entrepreneur business owners who are using the internet in a commercial way and would be willing to pay more. I know they're out there. Well, these guys could make themselves a couple of dollars, don't you think? Or am I just being, is it too obvious, you know?
Yeah, they probably don't want you to give me an idea. They want to think of it.
Oh, well, okay. Tell you what, Time Warner, you can think of it. I'll let you own the idea. All I'm asking for is this, a commercial account that I can have access to the maintenance of 24 hours a day, so that if something happens at 3 o'clock in the morning, you guys are Johnny on the spot fixing stuff. That's what we need. When we're talking about a business, that's what we need. Somebody that's using it for their home use, you know. Oh, wow, I couldn't get online, man, to play Myth. Can you guys... Well, no, I'm sorry, you know, but if this is a business... So there's food for thought. Here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We are starting our news and commentary hour a little early. We've got information here on the zombie invasion. Isn't that cute?
What is that, anyway?
Oh, quit it.
Well, why do you do it?
It's a joke, man. It's a joke. The CDC had a booklet on what to do if there's a zombie invasion as a way of promoting their hurricane preparedness. Some people are hooking that in with the end of the world. Oh, yeah, that's right. On Saturday, you heard about that one. So there's a lot of stuff to kick around and laugh at. We'll be back with it here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. For more information on this and other great talk programs, go to talkradionetwork.com. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here, the world famous Phil Henry Show. On a night of all kinds of fireworks, all kinds of high tech gadgetry gone awry, but we're here, and here we will remain. And I want to tell you that in between and over top of and underneath all of the different problems that we may have or may not have on this show, in terms of the high-tech nature of it, one thing is for sure, and one thing we don't need high-tech for, and that is what, bud?
Dynapep!
That's right, Dynapep. Now, if you had the video cast up right now, and it wasn't down because we don't have internet connection, you would see here Ted the Bear holding his, what's he got there, Robert?
Yeah, Cinnamon Dynapep, Ted the Bear, and Buddy Bear are going to the same thing, only turn away.
Yeah, Buddy Bear's is turned away. It's pointing at the camera, which is not working. Anyway, he has the cinnamon. And like I was saying to you, bud, next time you order up another case of Dynapep, get us something more than cinnamon, if you don't mind.
I told you, that's the only one they sent.
Well, then tell them that I demand more. Because I love my Dynapep, and I'll tell you why, folks. It is a time-release energy microshot. Now, you can get this at 7-Eleven right now. Get in the car if you want, or if you're on the road, go ahead and stop off at your 7-Eleven. 10 times the power, up to 10 hours. And it's only 2 calories. There's no jitters. There's no crash. And it's all natural. And it's something that's going to help you, as it helps us each and every night, clamber through the news of the night and the events of the night here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show. It's called Dynapep. Get it now at 7-Eleven or visit Dynapep.com, the time-released energy microshot. Dynapep. Let me get my... in fact, it comes here in the little case.
You can get there.
I got my one micro shot here. Very good. A lot of people will put it into a drink, Robert.
Yeah, I'll put it in a Coca-Cola sometime.
You can put it into lemonade. Do whatever you want with it. But because I'm an animal, you know, take it easy. Because I'm nothing more than an animal, I just go ahead and drink that stuff down. Dynapep. And Dynapep is a sponsor of ours, a great sponsor of ours, and has been, and hopefully forevermore. Dynapep. All right. Here on the Phil Hendry Show in our news and commentary hour, what was it, bud?
Well, the story I thought was very interesting about Area 51. Now someone says that there's Nazis and...
Yeah, that's good. And Joseph Stalin.
Joseph Stalin?
Yeah, they said a Nazi and Stalin.
A Nazi and Stalin got together and they put those aliens in Area 51?
Yeah.
Well, my understanding is it was a book, right?
Yeah, it's a book that Lee wrote.
A new book is out about Area 51, and wait till you hear this. This will ride your wig right off. Some woman has written a book, and naturally, when you hear of books about Area 51, you know, A, the reason why we're bringing them up is because they're interesting and fun. It has to do with people from outer space, and Area 51 will forevermore be an area of interest. If it ain't Area 51, it ain't an area of interest.
Yeah.
Thank you. And so, it's an area of interest. Number two, when we talk about Area 51, it's also a guaranteed sell for anybody that wants to write books. You can write a book about Area 51 and come up with every kind of crazy concept that you want. Now, this new book has been written by Ann Jacobson. She's a reporter who authored the book Area 51. Now, when did this book, it's a new book. Is it called Area 51?
Yeah, I think it's Area 51. It's the name of the book called Area 51.
Don't get funny with me, okay?
No, it is. It's called Area 51.
It is.
All right, so it's a book about Area 51 called Area 51.
Yeah.
All right. Now, is truth stranger than conspiracy theory fiction? Well, a new book on Area 51 that's already generating a ton of buzz. Among who, you know? Wow, this is really getting some conversation going here, man, this one. You know what? We've got to take a break at the top of the hour, and when we come back, we're going to give you the whole lowdown here on this new book about Area 51 that's generating a ton of buzz. I hate to say this, but any book that generates a ton of buzz about Area 51 is only generating buzz among a lot of people that have got bees in their bonnet, if you'll pardon the expression.
All right.
Thank you. Notice how I tied that into, you know, buzzing?
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back with a book on Area 51 and where I was originally conceived. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
What's that?
Don't worry about it.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Principal Kenny is a very well-respected administrator.
I want to express our pleasure that the judge...
I do the Botox myself. It's safe.
Oh, you mean the food stamps?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know where my husband is.
I forgot he was black tonight.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go anywhere, through the looking glass and beyond, to bring you the very finest in top-notch spoken word, talk radio, entertainment. All right. This is Phil Hendry. It is our news and commentary hour. We again apologize to our online viewers of our video cast, as well as our great many radio listeners, who may have looked forward to an online or on-demand video cast tomorrow. We don't have that because the internet has crashed on us, and it will be up and rock and roll, I'm sure, tomorrow night, because what we did is we contacted the good people at Time Warner, and we said, you guys know what to do, and they said, we're on it, Mr. Hendry. Well, in my fantasy, that's what they would do. Actually, they're still asleep, but as soon as they wake up, no, I'm sure that they're...
No, yeah, we called them out, and the lady was really nice.
The lady was nice at Time Warner?
Yeah, she was really nice. She said, can you unplug the modem? And I've done that. And then she said, well, I can't. That's all I can help you with. And
get out of here, man.
No, she said, tomorrow we have a technician.
You know, I'd almost half believe you, though, when they tell you, you call them up and you go, Yes, I'm having a problem. Yeah. Have you unplugged your modem, sir? Oh, no, I haven't done that. Go around behind it and unplug it and plug it back in. Well, we did that, and I know about that. Nonetheless, who did that?
Oh, what, an engineer or something.
Engineer. Anyway, we did that, and we find out that it is a more profound problem. It's in the line somewhere between here and thither. So, again, our apologies, folks, and we put a little notice up on our website as well as on Twitter. And we'll be rock and roll. All right, so last hour, when we last were talking with you, we were talking about a new book about Area 51. Now, Area 51, if you're a listener to the overnight show, you know, like George or Art's show, when they would talk about men from outer space, Area 51 is supposedly someplace where the United States Air Force or the United States Naval Air Services or the Marine Air Corps or just guys that fly stuff for a living, they went out there. And we either were doing one of several things. We were developing high-tech aircraft that was invisible or something or could turn into a thing, a creature. Yeah, I don't know. Or it was a place where we kept on ice the bodies of aliens to be resurrected, reanimated someday when the technology hit. I don't know.
That's what I heard about, that they got little men.
Well, little men. You mean from outer space?
Yeah.
Well, get a load of this. Is truth stranger than fiction? A new book on Area 51 that's already generating a ton of buzz among all those dorks. Ton of buzz. I'm not going to buy it. Are you?
No, I will. Yeah, I probably want to read it.
What are you going to read? Are you going to believe it?
I don't know.
See, that's the thing that scares me. I don't like putting information like this into the hands of idiots like you, because you guys wind up believing it.
Yeah, but it could be true.
It ain't going to be true. Wait till you hear what I'm reading here. True. There, according to this book, there was no alien spacecraft that crashed in Roswell, New Mexico in 1947. Whoa, no. Instead, Joseph Stalin did it. Maybe. Joseph Stalin. Joseph Stalin, you know, the former premier dictator of Soviet Russia who died in 1953. And eventually his successors, as you know, Khrushchev, Brezhnev, and Gorbachev. Eventually, Stalin was repudiated by the Soviet leadership, that the Stalin era was considered to be an era of tyranny, a black ages, if you will, of the Soviet people. And Joseph Stalin was repudiated by his successors. It was quite a revolutionary and shocking thing to do. Khrushchev was one of the first. And Khrushchev worked very closely with Joseph Stalin in World War II. Khrushchev, as a matter of fact, was the prime political commissar in Stalingrad. I'm getting way ahead of myself, aren't I?
Yeah, nobody knows.
All right, anyway. According to Annie Jacobson, the reporter who authored Area 51, the spaceship was actually a Soviet spy plane that came down during a storm. Jacobson claims it was filled with bizarre-looking, genetically engineered, child-sized aviators. Okay? That's right, bizarre-looking, genetically engineered, child-sized aviators. Then, Soviet leader Joseph Stalin was hoping, Jacobson alleges, that the news would cause widespread panic in the United States. That is, that if this plane comes down in the United States with little, big-headed, alien-looking people, that we would all flip and riot and burn the cities to the ground, thinking that the little men were coming for, you know, they were an advance party from an invasion force.
Yeah, that'd pretty much be the logical thing to think. You figure you're going to send a reconnaissance of some kind.
Yeah, that's right, bud, a reconnaissance. Wow.
Well, what don't you think?
Dude, I ain't even thinking that far into the world of weird. All right?
Well, that may make sense. If they're going to invade, they'd probably send a scout party.
A scout party?
What are you laughing about?
Yeah, that's it, man. The little green men.
They weren't green, man.
All right, the little flesh-toned men were a scout party from another world. They were doing reconnaissance. All right, so, and that's why we would riot?
Well, we'd riot because we'd be afraid our technology would not be up to theirs.
That's right. So we would be afraid that our technology would not be up to theirs, so we'd riot. We have very little faith in ourselves, at least in terms of the popular mythology that we create about ourselves. We always have such little faith. We always think that we're going to riot. We always think we're going to panic. We always think we're going to rape and run wild. You know?
Well, don't you think?
No, I don't. No, as a matter of fact, no, I don't. No. And it isn't because I think the human race is so marvelous. I just think that we are not that, I don't think we're quite built that way. I think that what happens is we adapt. You know, one of the things that we forget about human beings, and it's one of the truer things that we've discovered about ourselves, is that we are very adaptable creatures, not just in terms of climate, for instance, or foodstuffs. We know that we can live in extreme cold. We can live in extreme hot, blah, blah, blah. You know, we learn very quickly. We can see and we can touch and we can learn very, very quickly. That's why we, as I've so often said, if you look at the Native Americans, they saw horses. They became proficient at horseback riding and firearms within a relatively few years of being introduced to them. Human beings are very adaptable. And one of the things that I think that we're adaptable to are not only the hots and the colds of temperature, but the highs and the lows of life. You know, we enjoy the good times and we get through the bad times. And we always seem to think, especially in this country where we have the freedom to say whatever we want, we always seem to think that if things get a little too tough, we're just going to flip out, man. You know, and I don't see that. So anyway, Jacobson claims it was filled with bizarre-looking, genetically engineered child-sized aviators. Then Soviet leader Joseph Stalin was hoping, Jacobson alleges, that the news would cause widespread panic in the United States. What a leap of faith, man. When was this book written, anyway?
Yeah, it's a news book. It's a new book.
God, I think she shows very little understanding of people and history with that line there. The story gets stranger. The leader of the USSR had apparently been inspired by the 1938 radio adaptation of the H.G. Wells story War of the Worlds, produced by Orson Welles. The broadcast triggered panic in some listeners who tuned in and mistook it for a real-life alien invasion. Though later students of the episode claimed that the media of Wells' day vastly exaggerated the scale of public alarm over the broadcast, which I've heard that too. They said that a lot of people freaked out about the War of the Worlds broadcast, and it was relatively few people that actually freaked out. There was a disclaimer broadcast throughout the show saying that this is a theatrical rendition, but it wasn't done often enough, they surmised. And so since those times, you've had to pretty frequently tell people that something is, if it's going to affect public safety, you have to frequently tell them that you're doing a theatrical or a dramatic presentation. All right. And those ET-looking aviators? Well, they were scientific experiments created by, you got it, the Angel of Death, Nazi Dr. Josef Mengele, for the USSR after the war. So, what do we have here? We have Area 51. There was a spy plane. It came down by design because Joseph Stalin wanted to freak out the American people with the genetically engineered little tiny alien-looking people inside. And we'd see that and flip. And so the plane had to come down for us in order to see these things and flip. And these little men were made by the Angel of Death, Joseph Mengele. Now, Joseph Mengele was a Nazi doctor at Auschwitz who was a war criminal, wanted for war crimes. He escaped. He made it to South America and lived into the 70s, where it is said, and I believe they've verified, he drowned. They did reclaim his remains and were able to determine that it was Joseph Mengele. He escaped the long arm of international justice. But he probably didn't live a very comfortable life. He was consistently moving. He knew he was constantly being chased. Simon Wiesenthal, among others, and so forth. The American authorities. Joseph Mengele at Auschwitz did experiments on human beings. It was one of the most sadistic aspects of the Nazi reign of tyranny in Germany, or in Europe, that the concentration camp doctors like Mengele and others in the SS did experiments on human beings, living human beings. They would experiment, for instance, on eye color. Mengele was fascinated by twins. He was fascinated to see if he could change people's eye color. They wanted to find out how much cold a human being could withstand. So they would force German or Russian prisoners of war to stand in freezing water for hours at a time. Didn't matter whether it was going to kill them. That wasn't their concern at all. They would put human beings into pressurized tanks to see how much pressure they could take, putting them through extreme pain. They didn't give a damn. They would remove muscle tissue. I can't even. You can well imagine a sadistic son of a bitch like this, with the good blessings of the Nazi hierarchy, doing horrific things to people. And that's what Joseph Mengele did. So this doctor, author is saying he escaped to Russia and went to work for the Russians producing mutants. Well, nothing in this man's work ever speaks to him having actually developed, you know, genetically engineered humans. So while Joseph Mengele was not caught, and I'm sure there was all kinds of mythology about that and stuff that popped up about him because he was like elusive, I don't think he was that great. The flight was piloted remotely, according to Ms. Jacobson. So you've got these little pint-sized aviators that were created by Joseph Mengele. Joseph Stalin has sent them out over the United States. They're in a spy plane. It comes down on purpose so we'd all look at the little pint-sized aviators and go, ah, scream and riot and burn our cities to the ground because we're panicking. The flight is being piloted remotely, according to accounts of the book, and was filled with a crew of alien-like children. According to Jacobson's source, a retired engineer who was put on the project in 1978, yeah.
No, what are you talking about?
I bet you he's a guy that babbles to people in coffee shops. A retired engineer, huh?
Well, you don't know. The lady talking to him, man, you ought to look and see what kind of sources she got.
You guys would believe anything, you know that? Anything.
No, he wouldn't. But if she's got a source.
Yeah, she's got a source, all right. She's got a sore is what she's got. Anyway, a retired engineer who was put on the project in 1978, the look of the human experiments on these alien-like children could explain the alien conspiracy theories. They were grotesquely deformed, but each in the same manner as the others. They had unusually large heads and abnormally shaped, oversized eyes. Naturally, of course. Why? Well, that's what aliens look like. Is any of this true? There's no way to prove it. Documents surrounding the Roswell incident are still classified, as is virtually all information related to the book. Still, lack of proof hasn't exactly stopped the book from sparking speculation on the media circuit and the web. In the last day alone, Yahoo searches skyrocketed 3,000% for Area 51 book, and the tome is penned not by a crackpot conspirator, but a respected journalist. Well, we'll see about that. Even the New York Times gives her credence, writing in its review. Here's the New York Times reviewing the book. Although this connect-the-dots UFO thesis is only a hasty-sounding addendum to an otherwise straightforward investigative book about aviation and military history, it makes an indelible impression. Area 51 is liable to become best known for sci-fi provocation. I want to talk about this this idea that this connect-the-dots UFO thesis is only a hasty-sounding addendum to an otherwise straightforward investigative book about aviation and military history. So I don't think this book is about Area 51, the alien spot. I think it's about Area 51, the experimental aircraft spot. And, oh, yeah, there's been crap in there about... World-famous Phil Hendry Show will be back with a little bit more about that, a little bit more about this. A bomb at Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport turns out to be a drill, and by drill, I mean a hand drill that you use to drill screws into wood, right? No one informed the cops. Everybody just flips. We'll find out more about that here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Radio for patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. For all things news and talk radio, visit trncentral.com. For patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We apologize again to those of you who are logging on tonight to philhendryshow.com to look at our video cast. We have had an internet outage at our video studio, and as such, we were not able to deliver that this evening, and we have had these minor outages the last couple of weeks. However, we are getting that straightened out, and so it will not bedevil you any longer. We apologize, and we appreciate your continued patronage here at Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And, of course, all of our radio stations across our great network, we appreciate you guys hanging in. It's just been kind of a goofy period of of technical surprises. Just to kind of to close out on the UFO book, you know.
Yeah, first of all, that lady, you said that lady's talking about the whole book is a piece of crap, and it's not.
Well, isn't that interesting? You just found that out, man, because that's what I was saying.
Yeah, but see, her book about Area 51, that is a lot of things.
I know that, man. I know that. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Well, maybe I should have read ahead. But see, the book that Ann Jacobson has written called Area 51, folks, please understand, it's about 600 pages, according to Rantz, and about 100 pages of it is devoted to this ridiculous notion that Joseph Stalin created alien-looking kids and stuck them in a spaceship, okay? Ann Jacobson's book is about this place called Area 51 that, to the layperson, is a top-secret airbase where some kind of experimental aviation or experimental aircraft are tested. We know that much, and that's all we know. The things that happen at Area 51 are classified, and because they are classified, all the brain surgeons and the UFO people say, oh, see, you know.
Yeah, I think it's because it's classified, you can't know about it.
Exactly. They go, oh, well, it's not really. If the government would tell us if they only knew. Well, they're not going to tell you because that's classified information, the stuff that happens there. What she did was she took some of the weirder things that have been said about Area 51. She might have gotten a hold of some information, some rumors, some reports, and put them into her book. I think we're smart enough these days to know the difference between what is just goofy rumor and what is possible fact. I saw a thing on TV just a few days ago, and I don't know what show it was, but there was the headline, and they were going to really suck us through the commercial when they said, was the FBI chasing Hitler after World War II? Huh? You know, big, thick, well, then they got around to the fact, and this is anything anybody can look up. You can look it up right now. Go to the FBI website, look up under Freedom of Information all the stuff they have on Hitler, and it's pretty funny. Because they were getting letters for months and years after the end of the war of people spotting Hitler. And of course, if you're the FBI, especially in those years following the war, you got to follow up. Now, you may follow up with just a phone call. You may follow up to a call with a call to the Bureau. One of the letters said that they spotted Hitler at a bowling alley on Hollywood Boulevard. I swear to God.
Did he bowl?
What do you mean, did he bowl? What has that got to do with it?
What would he be doing there?
He ain't going to be out here bowling, man. He's gone. He's in the wind, baby. He's a war criminal.
Yeah, he's not going to come to Hollywood and bowl anyway. Might have gone to bowling alley closer.
Yeah, he'd go to a bowling alley in Germany, right?
Bowling alley in Germany? That cat was wanted by the... Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Oh, well, maybe South America.
Yeah, that's it. Hitler got on a sub, went to South America, and went bowling there. Did he bowl?
Well, I heard he had a bowling alley in the bee garden.
Beef garden? You mean the Berchtes garden?
Yeah.
What's so funny?
What's so funny? This guy's cracking me up, man. Six ways to sunset. That's what's funny. I'll be back with a Minneapolis St. Paul drill. Not a drill as in 1, 2, 3, 4, a drill that they thought was a bomb. Phil Hendry Show. Did he bowl?
Phil Hendry. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night to 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, we go places other talk shows wouldn't dare go. And why is that? Because they just wouldn't dare go there, you know.
Might get dirty.
They might get their hair mussed.
Yeah, we ain't got no hair to muss.
I ain't got no hair to muss. You do. Anyway, there was a bomb. Oh, no, not a bomb. Here's the headline. Anyway, bomb at Minneapolis St. Paul International Airport was only a drill. That's a stupid headline. And if it's not a bomb, then why call it a bomb?
They should have a threat of bomb.
Yeah. Bomb at Minneapolis St. Paul. They should have put that in quotes. Quote, bomb, end quote. At Minneapolis St. Paul International Airport was only a drill. No one informed the police. Well, now. with their guns drawn. Police surrounded a man who reportedly was trying to get through security at Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport with a bomb and a carry-on bag, reportedly. It was a drill, but the trouble was no one had told the cops, who thought it was real. I think a lot of people were alarmed. Patrick Hogan, a spokesman for the Metropolitan Airport Commission, said of last week's incident, there is always a danger that someone could have gotten hurt. It was unfortunate. This happened last week?
Yeah, it must have been a slow news day at the Star Tribune.
You guys at the Star Tribune, man, you're really on it, aren't you, there in Minneapolis, huh? Last week. It had happened in your own airport. And you reported it yesterday? Anyway, the routine drill conducted by the transportation security. You mean this is a drill? I thought it was an actual drill. Anyway, I think a lot. How many times did I say I thought this was a drill?
I don't know, about six times.
You think maybe you guys could have told me? The trouble was no one had told the cops, who thought it was real. I think a lot of people, you know what, I'm no longer interested in doing the story now. Just not interested at all, man. I'm telling people that this was a hand drill.
Well, I forgot.
You forgot. Let's move on to something else here. AAA survey, fewer car...
Well...
Yeah. AAA survey, fewer car trips planned for Memorial Day week. God, that's boring, too. Let me tell you something, man. Since that internet went down and we don't have our, you know, our regular show, we haven't got any news here to talk about either. United Airlines, look at this. This is dumb. Here is the story that we were going to and we should have talked about much, much sooner. And that is that the Center for Disease Control. The Center for Disease Control has tips on popular new on a popular new blog about a zombie invasion. And it crashed the website. A Center for Disease Control blog post mentioning a zombie apocalypse as a lighthearted way to get Americans to read about preparing for the hurricane season drove so much traffic that it crashed the website. The Zombie Apocalypse Campaign is a social media effort by the CDC's Public Health and Preparedness Center to spread the word about preparing for the June 1st start of hurricane season. It's been a top trending topic on Twitter and Google all day, which is why we're getting to it here late in the hour. There are all kinds of emergencies out there that we can prepare for, the blog post starts. Take a zombie apocalypse, for example. You may laugh now, but when it happens, you'll be happy you read this. So naturally, people are interested, and they go and they take a look at the Zombie Apocalypse Handbook. Do people really think there's going to be zombies? No. The timing of the blog was just days before the prediction of the May 21st Judgment Day by an evangelical broadcaster. There's no way in hell that that many people think the world is going to end to crash a website. I don't believe it. I think people crashed the website because they were interested to read probably most of them are kids, and they want to figure out how you kill a zombie.
Yeah, you don't know.
I refuse to believe that adults are worried about A, the end of the world, and B, the fact that zombies may be coming out of the ground. I will not believe it. No way.
You don't know, though.
Yes, I do know. It's impossible. As dumb as people can be. If you prepare for the zombie apocalypse, you'll be prepared for all hazards, CDC spokesman Dave Daigle told Reuters over the phone on Thursday. The word zombie comes from voodoo practice, blah, 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 blah. George Romero, blah, 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 blah. So what is this all about? It was supposed to be to promote hurricane preparedness, right? So where is that in the story?
Oh, they're talking about it, but...
All right, let's take a break and get our act together here. The Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
For Patriots, hi, Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. For more information on this and other great talk programs, go to talkradionetwork.com. Radio for Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. All right, so we got it all ready?
Yeah.
We don't need to have internet connection for that. Welcome back here. A couple of things to mention. As we said, we have had technical difficulties on our website tonight. We apologize for that. Also, we are online at facebook.com/Phil Hendry and twitter.com/RealPhilHendry. That is our online presence. Now, here's a story that I hope doesn't rise up and bite me in the ass. 84-year-old man allegedly beaten by police officer after calling 911. Who knows? Maybe you deserved it. I'm kidding.
Well, man, 84?
I don't know, but it says here an Alabama police officer allegedly hospitalized an elderly man who called 911 to report an accident across the street from his house while his wife watched the entire beating from a wheelchair. Now, doesn't that sound a little pat?
I don't know. I mean, could have happened.
Boy, it's got everything in there but the, you know, the weeping widow and the funeral procession and everything. I mean, talk about a story that was just reported from the gate to be biased against the cop. By the way, whatever happened to that cop that allegedly beat up the old guy in Orlando? You remember that story?
Yeah, there was a guy in a bar or something. They picked the guy up and slammed him. He was a veteran.
Right, he was a veteran. Whatever happened to that story? Whatever happened to that cop? Whatever happened to the supposed, I don't know, the supposed arrest of the cop or the investigation of the cop? The Courthouse News Service reported that 84-year-old Dorsey Henderson of Fairhope, Alabama, called 911 after investigating the car accident and discovering that the driver of the vehicle was severely intoxicated. Henderson told the driver of the car he was under citizen's arrest and needed to wait near his car until police arrived. When Officer Trent Scott arrived on the scene, Henderson attempted to inform him of the driver's belligerent behavior and that the driver had been placed under citizen's arrest. The officer allegedly told Henderson there was no such thing as a citizen's arrest in Alabama. Is that really what the cop said?
That's what it says.
That's what this crap can news service says. The officer allegedly told Henderson there's no such thing as a citizen's arrest in Alabama. First of all, do you think there's no such thing as a citizen's arrest in Alabama? And secondly, do you think a cop is going to say there's no such thing as a citizen's arrest in Alabama? Or is it maybe a misquote from Mr. Henderson? And he was also quoted as saying, "Get out of the way, old man." Now, of course, we don't know what the cop said because the cop's not allowed to talk. After Henderson tried to explain that he was only trying to help, Officer Scott placed him in an arm bar and slammed his face first into the ground, breaking his nose and eyeglass. This is the most positively biased story that you could imagine. It's making the claim that the officer did things, and they're taking this guy's word on what happened, that the guy tries to explain something, and after the man said, "Get out of the way, old man," he grabs him, he arm bars him, and he slams his face into the ground, breaking his nose and his eyeglasses. The wife, Doris, allegedly watched from a wheelchair, allegedly, at the front window of her house, allegedly, telling a 911 dispatcher that the officer was allegedly beating the hell out of my alleged husband. At no point, says the raw story in Courthouse News Service, at no point did Scott place Henderson under arrest or charge him with any crime, but kept Henderson handcuffed in the backseat of the police cruiser, the complaint alleges. Roughly 10 minutes later, Scott sent an ambulance that arrived away that had arrived, telling the paramedics that the elderly man doesn't need an ambulance. What does that mean? An ambulance that had arrived away. Anyway, a superior officer who later arrived on the scene ordered the ambulance to return, and Henderson was taken to the hospital. Here's a great example of what I was talking about when we say the media revolution and the competition for news consumers and the competition for people to pay attention to their news service as opposed to somebody else's news service. And I heard somebody say the other day that news is no longer news. It's a product. News is no longer a service, which is we're now going to tell you what the news is. It is a product. It is a competing products competing with each other. Here is our news as opposed to their news. Our news is more exciting. Our news is more violent. Our news is more colorful. Their news isn't. Our news is more celebrity-driven. But nowhere in the advertisement or in the pushing of the product is truth mentioned. Not really. This story here The Raw Story is the name of the internet news service. I don't know who they are. I don't know who runs them. I don't know whether any of these guys got out of grade school. And something called the Courthouse News Service. And they make this claim, and they use the words alleged, that an elderly man was beaten up, essentially, by an Alabama cop, and that this Alabama cop allegedly said these things. Well, you can throw the words alleged in front of everything you want, but the fact is, they want you to believe that this cop is guilty of police brutality.
You sure?
Yes, I'm sure. Did you hear what I said? They're talking about the cop smashed this guy's face into the ground, slammed his face, breaking his nose and his eyeglasses, put him in an arm bar. His wife, allegedly, watched from a wheelchair. Every now and again, man, they got that allegedly in there because they don't want to be accused of lying. Well, they're not really lying so much as they have decided they understand what happened, and they're going to tell you. This cop beat up an 84-year-old man. Why? Why did they tell it that way?
Because it's a better headline.
It's a better headline. Exactly.
Well, I mean, What are you talking about?
Bud, if I have a cop who legitimately interceded in this situation and didn't beat the old man up, but just put him, in the radio car to calm him down, or had to somehow restrain the old man because the old man was acting up, what kind of a headline is that going to make? Alabama police officer has to put old man in backseat of car.
Yeah, you could say old man attacks cop.
What if the old man didn't attack the cop? What if the old man was just resisting? Old man resists arrest. You know, old man resists arrest. Cop has to put him in the backseat of the car. You think that sounds sexy? Or what sounds better? 84-year-old man beaten by police, allegedly, after calling 911. Now, that is something people are going to want to read. And so, therefore, the Raw Story decides they will twist the information so that that's why you read it. So the goal is not giving people the truth. The goal is just simply to get them to read it.
Yeah, but they can't get away with telling a lie and stuff, can they?
Why not?
Yeah, I guess they could.
Why not? Why can't they get away with it? They can simply say that, no, this is our reporter says that this is what happened. I mean, we talked to the woman. We talked to the guy. Did you talk to the cop? Well, no, but the police officer would not. No comment. Yeah, that's the other way to get around it. Well, we talked to the old lady and we talked to the guy. We couldn't talk to the cop because he had no comment. He wasn't allowed to talk. Well, the reason why they're not allowed to talk is because the police officers are compelled by law to investigate thoroughly before they make any comment. An average citizen doesn't have to do any investigation. An average citizen can run off at the mouth with the verbal diarrhea as much as they want. And that's exactly what reporters like.
Well, okay, so the old lady talk, the old man talk. How do you know they're lying?
I'm not saying they're lying so much as all I'm getting is their side. That's the thing that bugs me. And because the only thing I get is their side, that's the only side that the Raw Story wants to give me. As a matter of fact, that's basically the story as far as they're concerned. They're done with their investigation. You think they're going to follow up and talk to this cop? Any more than anybody followed up with that Orlando cop and found out what happened after they investigated him slamming that poor old veteran. I heard that whole story, man. We did 2 days on that story. Oh, yeah, the poor old this guy was an old drunk. He came out of the bar. He got something happened between him and the cop. He winds up getting slammed to the ground. The headline is veteran is beat up by cop. But I didn't hear any follow up, man. I don't know what happened. I don't know what when the cop was finally heard from, what happened? I know the police department backed him up. I'll bet you that story, as it turned out, was no big thing. The cop was in the right. And what kind of sexy news is that going to give you? So they decided to drop the whole thing.
Well, they should have followed up.
They're not going to follow up if it isn't interesting. What happened with that cop and that veteran? Well, as it turns out, the cop was in the right. Oh, shoot. Well, we reported that it was a whole... Yeah, I know. Yeah, okay, well, let's... Next. They don't even have to follow it up, man. So, that's the thing. Let me see if I missed anything here. May 16th, 2011, Scott... Listen to this. As of May 16th, 2011, Scott was still employed by the Fairhope Police Department, and neither he nor the department has commented on the complaint. So, here's something else they're saying. They're saying, how dare they? Why, this guy still has a job? And as I mentioned to you, neither he nor the department have commented. Because why? Because cops are not going to comment until they do their own investigation. Cops got to be cops. Average citizens can be dumb. Meanwhile, this guy Henderson and his wife seek damages for constitutional violations. They're represented by some lawyer out of Daphne, Alabama. So I guess they're suing.
Well, boom, the cop has a statement at our police department. Then we ought to follow up.
Yeah, sure, we'll follow up. You think we're going to follow up, man? We ain't following up with nothing. Nobody else is going to follow up. Do I look like I got the AP News Bureau here? Unless these guys follow up, I ain't going to know nothing. And I got money that says they don't. I got money that says this cop was in the right, that the old man was out of line, and they're trying to get a payday. And when they find out that they ain't going to get their payday, even though he's 84 years old, and the cop is not going to be charged, and he was within the parameters of the use of force, and it just isn't sexy or exciting, I got money that says this is the last we ever hear of this story. The last.
How come you always stick it up a cop, even when it's an old man?
I just don't believe in bullcrap, okay, Robert? I don't believe in bullcrap.
I don't believe in it either. You always stick it up for cop.
You want to know why I'm always sticking up for cops? Because my experience has taught me something. My experience has taught me the following, that most of the time, cops are in the right.
What? What are you talking about, man? You know the cops have been guilty of brutality and everything.
I know the cops have been guilty of brutality for a long time, for many, many years, in the bad old days, and up until recently, probably. I mean, a lot of things have changed. Cops are better trained. There's different kinds of cops now. A lot of things have changed since the old days. And I'm telling you, my experience is, when I read these news stories, 9 times out of 10, the cops were in the right. Some jackass that was trying to get somebody's sympathy is in the wrong. Some turd that's trying to make trouble for cops. That's why you say that I'm always sticking up for cops. No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are. Yeah,
you stick up for cops most of the time.
Well, maybe I do most of the time. And I'm telling you right now, there's a reason for that. Because most of the time, when I read this horse dung, what I'm looking at is some cop getting screwed, somebody trying to make him into a bad guy, someone trying to make him into Heinrich Himmler. During that whole thing up in Oakland, man, was I pro-cop then?
Well,
yeah. So, you know, good luck there, Officer Scott, man. You got an old man and his old lady in a wheelchair, and oh boy, you know. Yeah, I mean, like I said, good luck. But a lot of times these guys do better if the department backs them up. And he ain't been fired, so...
Does that mean you think he's innocent?
I don't know, but he ain't been fired. Just because the raw story says, wow, the guy still has a job, usually they put them on suspension. Usually they stick them on a desk. Usually. Well, usually, if that's the case, that's the case. But usually, that happens when, you know, they're in violation of... if they've done something serious. But raw story, and now I know why they call you raw story, if you'll pardon the expression.
Yeah.
You guys didn't get the raw story. You may take it raw, man, but not the story. Take it easy. All right, well, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, we are produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is John Ilk, and our associate producer, who didn't have anything to do tonight, was Dan Northcraft. We apologize again for this a series of bad technical faux pas, but we'll get it together here. Visit us online at philhenryshow.com for our live streaming video. We'll have things up and ready to go again tomorrow night. And, of course, we have our archive video that's available for you, as well as our archived audio, our podcasts, all of that stuff is available to you. But this evening, from our video studio and our radio studio, we lost all of our internet connection. And there seems to be, the last time we checked with our good people at Time Warner, there is definitely a weak signal, as they say, man. You know, one of the funny things, I wasn't really that far gone when I said, you know, that supply lines have been stretched to the limit.
Yeah, I mean, we're right at the very end, man.
We are at the technical end of the supply line. So that's that. We'll see you guys again tonight. Again, thank you so much for sticking with us and staying with the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And we will have further reports on our website coming up in just a few minutes at www.philhenryshow.com. And we'll fill you in on just went down tonight with that internet connection. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. See you later.
Phil Henry.